As you approach it from the southwest, at a height of about 500 meters, Freiburg looks like a bright, worn patch in the folds of the Black Forest. It lies there as if it had fallen from the heavens one day, right at the feet of the mountains. The peaks of Belschen, Schanzlinde, and Feldberg stand in a ring around it. Freiburg has existed for mere minutes in relation to these mountains, yet the town behaves as if it has always been there, next to the river Dreisam. If Schauensland were to ripple its slopes in a shrug of indifference, hundreds of people cycling, riding in cable cars, or looking for butterflies would die. If Feldberg were to turn away in boredom, that would be the end of the entire district. But the mountains don't do that. Instead, they turn their somber faces to the goings-on in the streets of Freiburg, where people set out to entertain. Every day, mountains and forests send a swarm of birds into the city to gather the latest news and report back. The Middle Ages live on in the ochre yellows and dusty pinks of the narrow lanes where thick shadows gather. The roofs are dotted with dormer windows, ideal landing spots unless they are adorned with bird spikes. A passing cloud sweeps the brightness from the facades. A girl with pigtails is buying an ice cream on Leopoldring. Her part is straight as an arrow. A few beats of the wings, and here is Sophie de la Roche Strasse, so leafy and green that it seems to have its own microclimate. There is always a light breeze blowing here, making the leaves at the top of the chestnut trees rustle. The trees have outlived by a century the town planner who planted them, and they have grown larger than he had envisaged. Their long-fingered branches brush the balconies, and their roots bulge beneath the pavement and dig their way under the walls of the canal that flows by the building's foundations. Bonnie and Clyde, one head of brown and one of green, paddle along against the current, quacking away, always turning at the same spot and allowing themselves to be carried downstream. On their conveyor belt, they travel faster than the people walking on the canal path, at whom they look up, begging for bread. Sophie de la Roche-Strasse radiates such a feeling of well-being that an objective observer might think its residents are all at peace with the world. Because the canal makes the walls damp, the front doors are wide open so that the walkways over the water look like tongues hanging out of gaping jaws. Number 7, in tasteful white stucco, is without doubt the most beautiful building on the street. Wisteria cascades down from it. Sparrows chirp in the swaths of ivy on the walls, and an old-fashioned lantern dozes in the porch, waiting to be lit at night. In an hour or so, a taxi will come around the corner and stop at this building. The passenger in the back seat will raise his sunglasses in order to count change into the driver's hand. He will get out of the car, tip his head back, and look up at the windows on the second floor. A couple of doves are already picking their way across one of the window ledges, nodding and bending, fluttering upward occasionally to look into the apartment. These winged observers watch Sebastian, Micah, and Liam closely on the first Friday evening of every month.